Love it. I'm going to preach to you on Hollywood today, against Hollywood, obviously. And I want you to understand the purpose of it. You say, well, I don't even watch TV. I've never watched if any person here told me they'd never watched a movie before, I'd call you a liar. And if you want me to, I'll do it to your face. But because I know people have, all right? And you and I have been, what we don't realize is we've been bewitched by it. And you say, oh, come on now, preacher. I don't think so. No, I know so. Okay, and I'm going to show you from the Word of God and from the truth of Hollywood's satanic roots of just what they're up to. Now, let me ask you a question. If somebody was fooling you, would you want to know it? If somebody had been deceiving you and lying to you for years, would you want to know that you were being lied to? I mean, would you want to continue in darkness? Is it easier? Sometimes ignorance is bliss, we think, and it's easier. Let's just be dark about it, not know anything. But you say, well, I don't even watch television. I don't watch movies. I don't do that. And you know what? I haven't either for a couple years, really. I mean, I've seen a Fireproof or one of those movies here and there. But I mean, I don't spend any time watching television, or I don't. In fact, we don't have any of the stations that come in. There's movies there. Well, now I would have brought it today, but I forgot. But I've got a trash bag full of everything that I got rid of in my house. And then I'm going to burn. My family and I, we're going to burn. And we may even burn it out of Brother Bicey's house or something. I don't want any of them demons in mine, so I'll burn it. No, just kidding. But I'm teasing. But we'll probably burn it out of Brother Bicey's or something. But my point is that I don't want anything to do with Hollywood anymore. Once I've studied it, and I've realized it, I don't sit around and watch television or movies or anything like that. I cause too much trouble, and I don't have time to do that. I'm into everything else that I've got to do, and study and read and pray and radio shows and everything else that God's called us to do here. But the point of this is I would want to know if I was lied to, if I had been duped, if I had been fooled. Now, you may have family members that are very heavily into watching television and movies and everything else like that. Well, when they ask you, you know, why don't you do it? You know, the Bible says that you and I are to be ready to give an answer to every man that asketh you the reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. You and I should be able to intelligently explain why and the roots of it and everything else. I don't pretend that a lot of people are going to like what I'm about to say and what I'm about to reveal. Some of you may get upset with me today for doing it. Now, you understand me well enough to know that I really don't care if it upsets you. Amen. It doesn't matter to me if you get upset. You say, well, shouldn't you care about that? No, I should care about what God called me to preach. That's what I care about, okay? If you get your feelings hurt because of the truth, then Paul said, I made you sorrow after a godly sort. Amen? For godly sorrow worketh repentance, not to be repented of. But the sorrow of this world worketh death. And I want you to understand where I'm coming from here, okay? And once you do, and once you see the Bible on it, if you think the devil stumbled upon ways to trick and fool God's people, you're sorely mistaken. And God's people are fooled today by this thing of Hollywood. Let's pray. Father, I pray you'd be with us now, Lord. I pray that, Lord, your spirit be poured upon this, and Lord, that you'd bless. Help us to understand this, Lord. Lord, this world is just plain wicked. And the things that I've heard this week have vexed my soul concerning people caught up in sin and deceivableness and wickedness and all manner of wickedness, Lord, that you just wouldn't think you'd even hear about or even hit so close. But, Lord, I just pray that you'd use this for your honor and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, please, in your Bible. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Now, if you have any Hollywood heroes, I will probably break them down today. Those idols will be broken down, and you can throw them in the Minnesota River if you want to, and you can drink of them like Moses made the people drink. I'm just teasing. But because you're going to find out today, surprisingly, that we've been duped, we've been fooled. And we all know that there's wickedness that comes out of Hollywood. We just don't understand the root of the wickedness. It's all the same. But anyway, let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse number 13. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing. You see that? It is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Ministers of they'll be transformed into ministers of righteousness. Whether you realize this or not, Hollywood is pretty much the church of Satan. Hollywood has evangelists that go out and preach the good news or the bad news, if you're saved, of the devil. They preach Satanism and humanism and wickedness. I don't have time this week, but we won't be done here. I don't have time to go into the message of Hollywood, but we will go into that the evangelists of Hollywood preach. But we'll get to that. But today we're going to discuss the root of it. The Hollywood movie industry has had such an impact on the world that only the Lord knows how deeply Christians have been influenced by it. Hollywood preaches sermons 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It preaches. It never sleeps. The devil never sleeps, and the television never sleeps either. The programming, whether it's internet or wherever, it's not just to TV. I can watch television on my smartphone. I can take my smartphone, I can sit there, and I can watch any movie series, any television series, any event, right there in the palm of my hand, right there. So it's not just the television as that instrument. It's all instruments of media today, whether it's iPads or whatever the case may be. But Hollywood continues to preach through internets, through computers, through smartphones, through iPads. It has access to nearly all the world. But for now, we're going to look at the satanic roots of Hollywood, of the industry itself, of its history. And as always, we'll weigh it according to the King James Bible and look at it. I want to prove to you today and continue to prove in this series that Hollywood has waged war on God. Hollywood hates God. And I hate Hollywood.
Amen?
Amen? I hate Hollywood. Because they hate God. And they're satanic. And I've been duped and I've been fooled by it. And I don't like to be lied to. I don't like to be deceived. Whether somewhat of it was willful ignorance or not, I don't like to be deceived and fooled. If I would have remembered today, I would have brought you, after I started to study this out, I filled up every single thing that I could find of Hollywood in my home. There's a few others that I seen there that I gotta chuck over there that was there. But I've got some documentaries, some Bible things, some other things. But some of those are produced by Hollywood that I'm going to chuck in there too and throw those away. But I got a big old, one of those big yard bags full. And I gathered it all up and I sat it there. And I looked at my wife and I said, I'm going to burn this. I looked at my son, I'm going to burn this. He goes, yeah. But he just likes to burn things. I'm going to burn all of them. I'm not having anything to do with that garbage anymore. Anything to do with that satanic, that root of Satan any longer. And I'm not telling you what to do in your home. You know I don't do that. You do whatever God leads you. But today, you and I will be without excuse as to the root of Hollywood. And let me ask you a question. If the root be bad, how about the fruit? If the root of it is bad, isn't the fruit of it bad? Matthew 7:17, even so every good tree bringeth forth good fruit. But a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. It's either evil or it's good. Now, we don't have time to get into this, but Hollywood has preached to us that, oh, there's a gray area. A lot of fundamental Baptists preach that too. But there's a gray area. No, there is no gray area. It's either right or it's wrong. It's either light or darkness. It's not twilight. It's either light or darkness. And the thing you'll have to ask yourself is there any movie, any television program, any actor, anything that's so important to me that it's more important to God that I wouldn't destroy that? Because if there is, then you should throw it away now. Because it means that you've reared up an idol. And it's more important to you than God. First, we look at the actual word Hollywood. I want you to look at that. And I'm going to give you some information about that. One could say Hollywood or a holly tree. Bushes, holly bushes, things like that. Even this has strong satanic implications. See, how could a tree be satanic? No, it was used after a satanic manner. See, Satan can pervert anything. Amen. He could pervert anything. So let's look at the name here. By the way, you'll listen to this first part and you'll say, well, come on, now you're kind of, I mean, you're stretching it. Well, I would say that if it was just that for information. But when it spreads out from there and the same message is preached all the way through there and the same evil is all the way through there, the name and everything else, then I have to weigh the evidence. And Brother Finney's a lawyer and he would tell you that once I look at all that evidence and I weigh that evidence, I mean, it has to be evil. And it had to be not an accident either that name was chosen, Hollywood. Now, I want to read you this verse again. You've heard it the last couple of weeks a lot. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. I'm sorry I can't give you another story. I mean, this story is stranger than fiction, really, what I'm about to tell you. But the holly tree is part of Mystery Babylon. It's part of the same mystery Babylon. Now, that doesn't mean it's evil for you to have an evergreen tree. I'm not saying that, okay? So don't misunderstand what I'm saying. That's not the point. If you study what a holly tree is, you look at it, it has berries on it, but it's an evergreen tree basically with berries. It's a variation of it. You can see that. It's very plain. You can see pictures all over the internet. Just Google it or whatever. You can see the variations of it. Now, the variations of it were used for pagan worship practices. Is it a coincidence? Is it? Oh, I wonder. Well, let's see how that holly tree was used. Nimrod started the great organized worldly apostasy from God that has dominated this world until now. Nimrod married his own mother, whose name was Samaris. After Nimrod's death, his so-called mother wife, Samaris, propagated the evil doctrine of the survival of Nimrod as a spirit being. She claimed a full-grown evergreen tree sprang overnight from a dead tree stump, which symbolized the springing forth unto new life of the dead Nimrod. On each anniversary of his birth, she claimed Nimrod would visit the evergreen tree and leave gifts upon it. Ouch. I wasn't preaching on Christmas, was I? Just kind of snuck in there. Just kind of snuck right in there. Do you see how that happened? Just kind of right in there. About that. On each anniversary of his birth, she claimed Nimrod would visit the evergreen tree and leave gifts upon it. December 25th was the birthday of Nimrod. Ooh, that'll make everybody happy. This is the real origin of the Christmas tree. So basically, the holly tree was Nimrod or Osiris worship. Same thing. Same worship. It explains a lot. It sure does explain a lot. But that's just one witness. The word Hollywood, again as an evergreen tree or a holly bush or whatever, or a tree. We covered the paganism of the Christmas tree. I'm not going to get into that, but we've talked about that before. Many don't realize, though, that Nimrod had everything to do with that. The date of December 25th had everything to do with Nimrod. All of that has something. All of this, do you see how the story's not different? Do you understand? Satan just picked a different way to fool us. He's more subtle than any beast of the field. He's more subtle. Do you understand that? He's not going to come out right out and just point a finger at you and say, I hate God. He doesn't work that way. All right, you have to understand that. Now let's look at another witness, so to speak. The holly tree is one of the sacred trees of Wicca and witchcraft, and was of old a favored tree of the ancient Druids. In England during the winter, against the barren whiteness of our snow and frost, the holly tree is an important native evergreen. Its glossy green leaves and clusters of red berries add a flash of color to trees without leaves and is one of the most striking plants in the woodlands. In pagan folklore, the holly tree is associated with the spirit of vegetation and the waning forces of nature, to which he is personified as a mythical figure called the Holly King. The Holly King rules nature during its decline from the midsummer solstice through to the midwinter solstice, the Yule. At each of the solstice Sabbaths, the Holly King and his brother, the Oak King, engage in ritual combat for the attention of the goddess from whence the victor presides over nature through the following half of the year. In his personification as a holly king, he is often depicted as an old man dressed in winter clothing, wearing a wreath of holly on his head, and walking with the aid of a staff made from a holly branch. This is symbolic of the fertile interaction of the goddess and God during nature's decline and the darkest time of the year. At Yule, after his battle with the oak king, the new light of the sun god reemerges to encourage fresh growth during the coming new year. After the advent of Christianity and during Christmas and New Year celebrations, a man will be dressed up and covered in holly branches and leaves, while a woman was likewise dressed in the female counterpart of the holly, the ivy, and together paraded through the streets during leading the old year into the new year. You're not going to understand what I'm saying right now, but you have to understand something, that all of the fornication that you're seeing, all of the wickedness, all of the debauchery that you're seeing, all the deviancy that you're seeing is all satanic. It is all led by the devil. The fornication, everything else. Why do you think the message of Hollywood is all fornication and wickedness and situation ethics and everything else? You say, how does that have to do with a tree? Hollywood. It's not an accident, folks. You have to understand something. These people love, Satanists love using images. They love using names and pictures and numbers. They love it. It's part of what they do. And they laugh at God's people. They laugh at them because they engage in it. Pliny the Elder, AD 23, a Roman naturalist in his classic Historia Naturalis, an old world encyclopedia study of plants and animal life, tells us that if the holly is planted near a house or a farm, it would be repelled, poisoned, and defended it from lightning and witchcraft. Also that its flowers cause water to freeze, and that its wood, when thrown at an animal, even without touching it, had the power to compel the animal to return and lie down. Do you see the mystical stuff? Do you understand what it's about? The numbers? I know it'll all come together. Just keep listening, okay? I know it doesn't make sense right now to some of you, but you just got to keep listening. This is one of those sermons where you have to just listen and step by step and follow it through, because it all leads to the same place. You see, they chose that tree for a reason. It wasn't an accident that this tree was chosen. It was chosen on purpose. The name Hollywood was chosen on purpose. Do you understand? It wasn't an accident. In Celtic astrology, it's called the feminine energy. Holly is a sacred tree of Celtic astrology. From the 8th of July to August 4th, the sacred spear of Odin was made of holly. The Roman god Mars rules over this mighty wood, related to the elemental earth, associated by Druidic tradition to the grand majesty of the unicorn. The smith god Govanon considers this wood to be sacred. It also has magical properties. Now listen to this. Pay attention closely. Witches use it. A wand of holly. They use it for a purpose. Now listen to what the purpose is. Purity, strength, logic, power transfer, protection. Now listen to this next part. Holly wands are often used in magic concerning sleep. Are you listening? I said concerning sleep. Does anybody know what happens to somebody when they watch television for about 10 minutes? Brother Andrew, what happens to somebody when they watch television after 10 minutes? Your mind shuts down and you're susceptible to subliminal messages. You start to pick up subliminal message. Oh, they don't use subliminal message, really? Because I got 35 pictures I can show you right now of Disney characters that they put all that smut in those movies. Children's movies. Pornography! Right in the children's movies. Say, no, they don't do that. Oh, yes, they do. Oh, yes, they do. In the most innocent ones you can find. Why? Because Nimrod. That's why. It's all about Osiris and Nimrod. Hey, can I share something with you, that the top 100 movies that you watch are full of Illuminati signs? Do you know that every single movie that you've ever watched has the all-seeing eye in it everywhere? Now, why would it have that? Are you telling me that even Goofy and Mickey Mouse and all, oh man, they're everywhere. I could show you a picture right now in one of the little cartoons that says "Ask about Illuminati" right there. Oh, I'm going to get to Disney. That's another one. Mickey Mouse is going to get shot in the next sermon next week. It'll be "Bye Bye Mickey." All right? Now, you may not like that, and I understand that, but listen, I'm mad because the devil has fooled God's people. What are you mad about? Are you mad because one of your idols is getting crushed? Are you and I mad because television or movies or something like that is off limits to God and we shouldn't be watching the ones that are produced by Hollywood and the stuff that's pushed out there that's pushing Illuminati and wickedness? Does that make you mad? Then you need to get your heart right with God. Amen. Don't get mad at the message or the messenger. Make sure you get mad at the devil for fooling you. Remember, we're God's children here. We hold up the truth. And if it's truth, then we get the error out of our lives. We don't care what the devil, we don't care what the world thinks, don't care what our family thinks. We get it out of our lives. That's what we do. Because we're a called out assembly of people. I wasn't going to preach about content. Now I got to back up again. This is going to take 5 hours. It is said that a man who carries the leaves and berries of a holly is irresistible to women. Now, why does that matter to witches? Why is that important? Because it's all the same plan. It's all the same, the deviancy, the fornication, the wickedness. It's all the same thing. It's never changed. It's the same mystery of iniquity. It's the same mystery of Babylon. It's the same Illuminati. It's just a different front to attack you on. I'm going to show you today that witches believe this is true. I'm going to show you today how the high priest of Satan's church says he don't even let his children watch television. I wouldn't let my son watch television. Be nuts. All right, there's convicting, isn't it? That's right. The children of this world are wiser than the children of light. Since the story of the rulership of the Holly King and the Oak King deal with cycles and rebirth, it is often used in magic to ease the loss of loved ones to death. It also carries property of the sacred material advance. So as we see, even the name has its roots in Satanism. We also should look at the fact that it was used by witches for sleep. Understand that. Get that, okay? Get that. It'll make sense to you when you understand the bewitching powers. And advertisers will fully admit to you that they put subliminal messages in things. They do that on purpose. That they know that your brain shuts down. They know that it shuts down if you watch a program for a certain amount of time and your subconscious goes like this and it receives everything. Now, I'm not going to get into that today, okay? I'm going to get into that next week. So you understand that. I'm trying not to get into that today, but I have to lay a foundation for you to understand that this is satanic. That's what it is. Do you understand the connection of the spirit world in this? Do you understand that witches say it? Celtic paganism says it? They understand. They understand where the name comes from. They understand the importance of it. They get it. Now, that's just the name, so that can't mean a whole lot, right? It must just be an isolated situation. That must be what it is. A reminder of what God says about familiar spirits before we get into the meat of this. In Leviticus chapter 19 and verse number 31, regard not them that have familiar spirits, neither seek after wizards to be defiled by them. I am the Lord your God. Leviticus 20 verse 6, and the soul that turneth after such as have familiar spirits and after wizards to go a-whoring after them, I will even set my face against that soul and will cut him off from among his people. Leviticus 20 verse 7 is very convicting for God's people. Sanctify yourselves therefore and be ye holy, for I am the Lord your God. Deuteronomy 18:10, there shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or daughter to pass through the fire, that useth divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch. Now come on, that can't be going on in Hollywood, can it? Or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. 2 Kings 23, moreover, the workers with familiar spirits and the wizards and the images and the idols and all the abominations that were spied in the land of Judah and in Jerusalem, did Josiah put away that he might perform the words of the Lord which are written in the book that Hilkiah the priest found in the house of the Lord. Put it all away. Why? Familiar spirits. You know what a familiar spirit is? If you don't, go back and start listening to some sermons. I preached on the spirit world for the last month, actually 2 months probably. Go back and listen to some of them, putting your armor on, and the sons of God, the daughters of men. All of these sermons are on there. All of these sermons on the spirit world and understanding the devil's attack on us, it's all there. You can listen to them. Acts 16, verse 16. And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel, possessed with a spirit of divination, met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. She was a demon-possessed lady with divination powers, and her masters were making much money off of her being able to tell the future, her being able to entertain those men through that. God says that those psychics, those that consult spirits, we are to have nothing to do with. We're to stay away from them. We're to ignore them. Do you suppose God wants us to be entertained by them? Well, let me ask you this. Do you believe that you've been entertained by devils? Think about it. Have you and I been entertained by devils? I'm telling you, most preachers will not preach on this. I'm not exalting myself because I just loaded up a garbage bag full of stuff and set it out, and I'm gonna burn it. I'm gonna enjoy burning it too, but I'm gonna burn it. And why? I'm preaching this to you because most people won't preach on this. Why? Well, because members don't like this. It steps on their toes. It steps on their entertainment idols. My little children, keep yourselves from idols. That was written to the saved, not the lost. Why? Because God knew that you and I would rear up idols in our lives. And God warned us about that, to put away those idols. So why am I talking about psychics and everything else? Because the root and the fruit of the root of Hollywood, the root of it, are actors that consult familiar spirits. That's the root of it. That's what they do. You say, no, it can't be. No, folks, it's not an isolated incident, but it's a common trend in the Hollywood industry. The truth will either make you mad or will lead you to get right with God Almighty. One of it will happen. One of the most popular, I'm going to go through a series of Hollywood actors. Some of you won't know them, okay? Some of you, you older, my age and older, you'll probably have heard of them, okay? Some of you won't, but it was the foundational period of Hollywood, and that's why I'm talking about it. If the root is bad, then the fruit is bad. Do you understand that? If it's the root, then it's the fruit. And I want you to understand what these men said. Do you understand that you and I go into the closet with our faith? And these movie stars openly tell you they're Satanists. They openly tell you that they consult wizards and they consult devils. They brag about it. In fact, they glory in it. You know why? Because they know that most people and a lot of Christians, or many that say they're Christians, will still keep buying their movies and still keep funding the Hollywood machine. Because unless somebody confronts you with it, unless you and I are called to repentance about it, unless the Word of God is preached, then Acts 19 will never happen. Where you take your curious books and all of those things, and you burn them, and you count the pieces of silver that are 250,000 pieces of silver that they burn. Why? Because somebody preached. Somebody told God's people the truth. And they said, well, I can't have that in my house. It's wrong. One of the most popular Hollywood actors that fundamentally changed America was James Dean. He fundamentally changed America. His movies that came out changed the whole dynamic of what a family was supposed to be. Of what a son was supposed to be to a father. The rebellion that was led to that. It was open. It was blatant. Hollywood has never produced anything that was wholesome and biblical. Listen, when somebody gives you some morality, you cannot trade in morality for holiness and righteousness. Do you understand that? Who cares if Hollywood preached some perverted morality? Perverted morality or morality only goes so far and it runs out of steam. Holiness is of God and it lasts for eternity. Morality is Satan's cheap trick to fool you. Another message will cover what he actually preached in his movies. But listen, actor Martin Sheen, some of you know who he is, pays tribute to Dean for his role as a change agent. James Dean and Elvis were the spokesmen for an entire generation. When I was in acting school in New York years ago, there was a saying that if Marlon Brando changed the way people acted, then James Dean changed the way people lived. He was the greatest actor who ever lived. He was simply a genius. End quote. Where did his geniusness come from? I wonder. Another man said they wore what he wore, recalled Stuart Stern, scriptwriter for Rebel Without a Cause. Rebel Without a Cause. How many of you have heard of that movie? Probably seen it, right? Yeah, yeah. Listen, if you've seen something wicked, I've seen something wickeder, so I'm not here to poke a finger at anybody. Amen? I'm just telling you. You've seen it. Rebel without a cause. Rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft. They walked as he walked. They played the parts they saw him play. They searched the answers they thought he was searching for. Some found a kinship they had never known before. Suddenly, teenagers underwent transformations of mind-blowing proportions in emulation of his movies. Jeans, t-shirts, leather jackets, hairstyles, fast cars all became the popular trends of the day. The new measuring stick for men's success with the women depended on how close they came to Dean's heartthrob image. His posters and movie memorabilia plastered the walls of teenage girls who still longed for their knight in shining armor. Dean was successful in reshaping the image of what the knight was supposed to represent. Randall Reese, author of The Unabridged James Dean. What I'm trying to do is lay a groundwork so you understand the fundamental change that took place in America due to Hollywood, what it did to this country, how it changed it, and how it was all of the devil. It was all, and I don't mean the devil was in the back, was far up and away from it. No, I mean he was indwelling it. Dean was led by devils, familiar spirits. Dean's aunt told of how even as a young man he had contact with spirit entities. He said that he would have conversations with the tree, and when questioned if the tree talked back, he wasn't talking to the tree or the roots, he said, laughing. I said, well, who are you talking to? He just looked at me with a clean face and said, my mother. James Deward, a personal friend of Dean, said he said, and I quote, he said he believed the ghosts of his dead mother came to him. Dean actively sought out spirits and spirit guides to help forge his path to success. Beulah Roth, another personal friend, recalls a time when Dean wanted to get in touch with a dead actress named Sarah Bernhardt. Roth says, and I quote, there was a hotel in Venice, California where Sarah Bernhardt had stayed when she came here to perform. Jimmy was thrilled. He said, let's go to the hotel. So we go in and it's a flea bag hotel, a transient hotel, and no one there had heard of Sarah Bernhardt except for one old guy who said, oh yeah, I remember that French actress. And we said, do you remember the room? And he said, yeah, I'll take you up there. He took us up to this really horrible room. I guess in its day it was elegant. And Jimmy said, you go out of the room. I want to be here alone. I want Sarah Bernhardt to come to me. And he said he lay on the bed where she had slept and he really felt that he had made contact with Sarah Bernhardt. End quote. They're devils. Do you understand that? He is seeking the familiar spirits. They're devils. This is what Hollywood is. It's full of devils. Say, come on, preacher. Why do you got to bring this stuff up? Because Hollywood's roots is in the rebellion of witchcraft. It's always been there to get you away from God. It's always been there to get you, give you something else to do besides read your Bible and pray, to entertain your flesh, to shut down your mind and habit you with devils so they can take over and they can rule your conscience. That's exactly what it is. It's exactly what it's been about. He goes on to say this. He sensed moments in Eartha's, Eartha Kitt was a hero of his. Eartha's performances when it seemed to him that everything she knew was fused directly into a moment, even things having nothing to do with her performing. He thought translated directly into one energy force, a magic connection. He says Jimmy was convinced that Eartha had special powers and knowledge she could deliver to him by some kind of osmosis. Jimmy Dean reportedly says, I have a fairly adequate knowledge of satanic forces. Isn't that great? Isn't that great for God's people? Do you realize what this is saying? This is saying that you and I, if we've watched that movie, we've been entertained by devils. We've had devils actually entertaining us. And we wonder why our homes are a wreck and a mess when we invite devils into them. We wonder why our children are a mess when we invite devils into our home. Sit them down in front of devils and let them listen to devils teach them. Dean boastfully told Heda Hopper, I had studied the golden bough. Anybody know what that is? Aleister Crowley. Anybody know who Aleister Crowley is? Probably one of the most wicked men that ever lived. Satanists. Occultists, New World Order, hired by the federal government for mind control experiments. Aleister Crowley writes in his 960-page autobiography, The Golden Bough, and in the writing this book, I was much assisted by Fraser's Golden Bough. Crowley placed Fraser's writings in his camp in regard to Christianity, which delved deep into Crowley's form of magic. According to Crowley, Fraser agreed that Christianity was historically false, morally infamous, politically contemptible, and socially pestilent. It was a pestilence, Christianity was. Regarding Dean's study of DeSade, he was one of the wickedest homosexual serial killers in history. Another of Dean's favorite writers was a man by the name of Oscar Wilde. Oscar Wilde was an occultic homosexual playwright whom Aleister Crowley paid no small token of admiration to throughout his writings. Long-term girlfriend Dizzy Sheridan insightfully relates, the things Jimmy Dean reads were sort of a personification of himself. You see how these men were led by the devils? They consulted spirits. There was something a little mad, somebody said, a little possessed about James Dean. Each of his three major films conjures up a self-absorbed, hobgoblin kind of insanity. His co-star, Julia Harris, said of him, you see, he was mercurial, unpredictable, always putting you on, which I didn't mind because he was very beguiling. He did manipulate people, and he knew he was doing it. How? By the power of a devil. Mm-hmm. His whole being was put into motion by his involvement on stage. There, his energies worked for him and it felt good to command attention and experience power and a sense of manipulation. The whole place could be in my hand, Jimmy said. In my personal control, everyone out there, the people, the others on stage with me, it's like I was the sun in a universe. I could be giving life to all of it. These people understand what kind of power they possess over people. They understand. See, they know it. They know. 24 hours a day. 7 days a week, constantly preaching their message. And people place their children in front of it all day as a babysitter. Well, what did he think? Oh, he could. Okay, so what do you think about God? When spoken of about God, Dean said, there was no God. There was only art, only the composer, the creator of the symphony. He stole the fear of God from people's hearts, not only through his movies, but also through statements such as, no matter what they say, there isn't any heaven, there's no hell either. He ragged Christianity as those destructive influences of beliefs based on torture and blood and crucifixion. Instead, he radiated the philosophies of Satanism, proclaiming, I believe in freedom, not God. What is he saying? The mantra of Aleister Crowley? Do what thou wilt shall be the whole of the law. Is not that the message of Hollywood? Do what thou wilt shall be the whole of the law. Really? Is there anything that Hollywood has not taught? Is there anything that Hollywood is? I'm not going to get into it. I keep wanting to go to content because it's so stinking wicked. But think about it this way. Homosexuality, fornication, bestiality. rape, murder, incest. Is there anything they haven't taught? Do what thou wilt shall be the whole of the law. Out of chaos comes order. A new order. He talked about being hanged, about suffocation, and was trying to imagine being guillotined and whether the eyes fluttered with any last second sight. Jimmy's talk of death, dying, and dismemberment wasn't as exciting or interesting to me as it was to him. He talked about, I'm not going to read all of it, but he talked about dying. He was always fascinated with death. Oh, well, that's interesting. Where would he get that from? Well, I don't know. What do you see on television 24 hours a day, 7 days a week? What do you see? Death. Death. Devils are obsessed with death. Is it an accident? No. When asked why he was so fascinated with death, he replied, and I quote, "That's the only way I will have any peace. There's no peace for the damned." But you see, these men in Hollywood and women in Hollywood, they sell their souls to the devil. They sell their souls to Satan. Needless to say, the deceiving devils that were in him, that made him popular, could not preserve his life, and he died a tragic death. But let's look at a few others here, a few other examples. Decade by decade, if this is just an accident, let's go to 1920. Let's go back before James Dean. Every night, Natasha would hold a seance calling forth help from the spirit world in her creative undertaking. Then, pencil and paper in hand, she would go into a trance and start writing. After her outpourings were typed up, they were brought up to the set the next day and given to the director. That was 1920. That was the first Hollywood couple called the Valentinas. You could look that couple up and find out that they were the first couple. Her work helped topple the biblical values of North America. Mae West's contact with the spirit world was responsible for producing the scripts that catapulted her into the movie scene. She let herself be used as a medium for spirits and would hold evenings of psychic readings. West psychic Kenny Kingston tells us when she was upset that no one had been able to come up with a script idea, she had walked about her room saying, "Forces, forces, come to me and help me write a script." She would begin to hear voices and images as the plot was revealed to her. Mae would summon stenographers to work with her around the clock as she would lie in bed in a trance-like state, dictating as the spirits entered. This is what they would do. They would sit down there, they would call forth devils, familiar spirits, and they would write their scripts out. And you and I have been entertained by them. You and I have allowed them to preach to us. Amen? So that doesn't have anything to do with me. Oh, really? Why did it appeal to you then? What did it appeal to? The Spirit of God inside of you? Or the flesh? The flesh. So what was it? Wizardry. They fully know that they're able to do this. They fully understand that it is demonic forces that appeals to your flesh. Do you think that devils don't know how to work with mankind? They don't know how to deceive mankind. They don't know how to appeal to your flesh. Oh, yes, they do. They know it quite well. Lucille Ball was a famous film star in the 1940s, but chose to go back to TV acting in 1951. And when a spirit spoke to her, she said, "That's when I decided, when a spirit spoke to me, I decided to go to television." It was the spirit of actress Carol Lombard who guided Lucille Ball into taking a chance and accepting the offer to star in I Love Lucy. The glamorous comedian who had died in an airplane crash in 1942 appeared to Lucy in 1951 because Lucille Ball accepted the spirit's urging to take a chance, honey. She made television history. You look at that show and you think about it. I'm not going to talk about content a lot, but that was a show about a woman being rebellious to her husband that lied to her husband constantly and told him, and what do you think the spirit of that does to people when they watch that? See, we're going to talk about that next week, but you got to understand, I keep giving you hints, but I'm trying to stay on topic, but here's what that does. It lowers your subconscious and it puts situation ethics into your brain. So subconscious, what you're hearing is situation ethics. Well, I know fornication is wrong. I know lying to my husband is wrong. But see, right, but the right situation calls for that. Do you see? Do you see how that works? Let me ask you, are you receiving this or are you hardening your heart to it? I want to ask you that in all honesty. Are you hardening your heart to it or are you receiving it? I hope you're receiving it. I hope you're receiving the Spirit has given a warning, which God has called me. Remember that? Remember the calling of God that God gave me as a pastor? He gave to watch for your soul as they that must give an account. See, I want to be blameless. I want to be, Lord, I warned. I preached. I watched. I stood on the wall. I screamed loudly. The greatest, I'm going to use a different term here than they use, the greatest fornicating icon of the 20th century, Marilyn Monroe, was known for entering into deep trances. Kenny Kingston, which is that psychic devil that's all over Hollywood, tells us that she would draw attention from the spirit world asking for their guidance. And Monroe herself said, Jekyll and Hyde, more than two, I'm so many people. They shock me sometimes. I wish it was just me. They're admitting it. What's that? That's right. They're admitting it. Remember, Mary Magdalene in the Bible had seven devils in her. Peter Sellers, best known for his role in Pink Panther film series, said this about acting. It's rather like being a medium and laying yourself wide open and saying, I want a character to inhabit my body, or I want a character to take charge of me so that I can produce what I hope to produce. He's telling devils to possess him. And by the way, Peter Sellers, his career was almost over. He met with Satanists and they told him that if you will turn over to the devil, then he will give you the ability. And he became an instant star and rose all the way to the top of the box office back then. He's the guy that did the Pink Panther movies. The old ones. You've heard that, I've told you about that video series, they sold their soul for rock and roll. Well, these sold their soul for Hollywood, for popularity, to be stars. Interesting, isn't it? How about, let's make it a little more modern. How about Robin Williams? He said, yeah, literally, it's like possession. All of a sudden, you're in. You just get this energy that starts going. But there's also that thing, it is possession. It is Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, when you really can become the other force. You know, it's amazing. They're more bold than we are. We don't want to tell people, I don't watch it because it's rotten filth from hell, that's why. But they go on to say, yeah, well, I'm possessed, yeah. Amen. Believe me, by the way, I felt the same conviction that you're feeling right now when I was putting this all together. Why do you think I boxed everything up and put it in all a big old garbage bag and stuck it out there and I'm going to burn it all? Why do you think that was? Amen? I'm not telling you to do that. You got to do what God leads you to do. If He leads you to watch that filth, then you better question who you're listening to and try the spirits whether they're of God. For many false prophets have went out. How about Keanu Reeves, the Matrix guy? Have you heard of that? Some of you have heard of that. The Matrix. Keanu is a very complex guy with lots of demons in him. And I was trying to tap and utilize that, said the director of the Matrix. How about Leonardo DiCaprio? You've heard of him, right? I know some of you have heard of Leonardo DiCaprio. Leo's like a medium. He opens his body and his mind to receive messages from coming from another person's life. Interesting, isn't it? These are not isolated incidents, but a root of wickedness so deep in Hollywood that it's satanic and it's satanic influence. Completely satanic. You have to understand something, folks, that this isn't an accident. It really is planned. It really is. And if you are fooled by it, if you and I are fooled by it, I'm going to give you a few more after in the next hour. one that'll surprise you. I'm going to take you to Little House on the Prairie. I'm gonna take you to Paul Ingalls, and we're gonna go on a field trip, and we're gonna look at Little House on the Prairie. And amen, that's right, brother. And you're gonna learn a little bit of something you didn't know about Michael Landon. I guarantee you didn't know it, and it'll shock you when I reveal it to you. But you know what? You need to hear it. You need to understand it. Folks, this is not an accident. The root of Hollywood is Satanism. It is Luciferianism. It has nothing to do with the Bible. It has nothing to do with God. They hate the God that you serve. They hate the fact that you serve Him. They want to entertain you and get you out of, to bewitch you. They're spirits of bewitching power. And I'm going to prove to you, probably the worst one of all, next hour, is Michael Landon. He is the worst one of them all. I took 9 seasons of Little House on the Prairie, like 55 DVDs, and I threw them. And I'll tell you the story about that in the next hour. Father, we pray You'd bless this time that we had, Lord. It's tough, Lord, when we come to grips with reality. This is preaching that is practical, Lord. This is showing the spirit world what it's done to us and the practicality of its implications on our lives. Lord, I pray folks understand I'm not preaching that I'm better than anybody. I just understand the truth now, Lord, and I want to follow You in it. Lord, I don't want to be entertained by devils. I don't want them in my home. There's so much more. Lord, the day's growing dark. You said judgment must begin at the house of God. Dear God, help us. We're in trouble. We've been influenced by the world. We're not to love the world, but we've been influenced by the world. Neither the things that are of the world. For all that is of the world, it's evil, Lord. It's the lust of the flesh. It's the pride of life. It's the wickedness of this world. But, Lord, we've been bewitched by it. God, help us to get clear of it. God, convict us. Spirit of God, move in our hearts. Bless the service to follow. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.